Welcome to Home Guard Radio, bringing you all the latest from our chaps at the front.
So here we are, episode 3 of...
That was an absolutely shocking intro. Well, here we are, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 13.
Yeah, 1 in 3, use your words, Craig.
Yep. Of Home Guard Radio.
Yeah, Home Guard Radio.
Got to remember what podcast we're on.
Yeah, because we're doing 3 at one point. So tonight it's myself, Craig,
and myself, Alistair, and our men who are missing in action. One's in the Shire again.
Never left the Shire.
Never left the Shire.
Is it Rosie? Is that what the barmaid's called in the Shire?
Aye, he's punching above his weight if he gets Rosie.
Get grip.
And the other one,
Mr. Warden. He's on childcare duties or something?
Oh, you do that. He's just lying on the couch asleep as normal.
Which is fair enough.
And it's childcare duties if you're Scottish.
That is childcare duties. You know, he's punching exactly at his weight. I was going to punch it above his weight. That makes no sense, but...
He's not here.
He's not here, no. But myself and Craig, we've got 2 big cups of coffee. And we're going to give it a bloody good stab.
We are. Anything exciting before we get into the sections?
Exciting.
Any new hobby projects?
I was going to say life project.
Had a baby. You personally had a baby?
My wife had the baby for me. Okay. Which is kind of handy.
I was hoping you might tell us a secret there.
Nah, there's no secret, mate. So in between episode 12 and this podcast, I've got a son now. His name's Hamish Alexander Unicorn. And he's at the stage of... If he's not eating, pooing, or sleeping, those are the only 3 things he does at the moment. He's only 3 weeks old. I'm on, what is it, maternity leave? I sleep sometimes. It's an amazing, everything that other fathers say about having a baby, it's all true. What they don't, or what they may not phrase correctly is, take your really good life that you've got, and then roll a hand grenade into it, explodes, but it looks really cute, and that's the only thing that makes it worth it at the moment.
I still maintain that the funniest thing that Ward never told me about Jamie,
his son, yeah,
is that apparently he was sort of holding Jamie up in the air over him, sort of Superman fold, and Jamie threw up in Ward's mouth.
Mate, this is the wrong podcast for...
Certainly wrong podcast for that.
Wrong podcast for the stories I've got already, but... Within, 24 hours, I've been peed on, pooed on, and vomited on.
And you didn't have to pay for it.
Yeah, I'm paying for it for the next 18 years. But no, so that's been quite a big part of the past month.
And unlike certain other people, you're still podcasting.
Like a boss.
I know.
Although I know I'm on borrowed time. And I know as soon as I walk in the door tonight...
Where have you been?
I told you. Well, I've forgotten.
You told me I could go. No, I didn't.
Exactly. But back to bowl action.
Yes.
Enough about baby news, because, let's face it, it's kind of dull.
Yeah, I mean, this is our third time this has happened, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, whoa. So you're the only non-father now within the podcast?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Anyway.
This is why I still have my hair and not great.
True that.
I don't believe. But I was going to say Bonner's is a lifestyle choice.
There's no choices there.
Let's skip on to
Toy Soldiers, mate. What have you been doing?
And now the latest briefing from the Logistics Corps.
Well,
If you look stumped there, I can step in if you want.
You go ahead first this time.
Okay.
Because I'd love to hear the fact that you've done nothing because you had a baby.
That's
what you should be saying.
That's what I should be saying, but that is not the case, mate. I have hobbied pretty damn well.
So you've hobbied more with the newborn than before the newborn?
I think so. But it's only because I'm up at stupid o'clock.
You could do a midnight class on that. Sell tickets on YouTube or something.
I thought I should be doing some sort of other miniature podcast live. Like a minicast. 2 o'clock in the morning, change the nappy. Here's what you can do in 15 minutes when you're tired, but... No, genuinely, hobby-wise, I think if listeners have bothered to remember the past couple of episodes, I've always talked about this random group of German gun crew idiots that are running about. They're done. They're gone. They've painted, based. I just need to varnish them. There was 22 of the little dudes. Seven from the Flak 88. There was five from a heavy howitzer. There was four from a Pak 40. There was another heavy. There was just idiots running around. So they'd all done. What I'd forgotten as well is there was a Panzer Threat team in there. There was four other random guys with assault rifles. Some random sergeant with a submachine gun. They're all done. And I put a note on my painting page that that's it. Germany, we're done. Barring a King Tiger and a Puma. And the random Conflict 47 idiots. Yes. Like there's the vampire guy. There's some big werewolves. Oh, there's the secret agent nun from Gigantor's Operation Sea Lion.
Little bits and pieces.
Yeah, but they're just comedy value.
So you're basically about maybe 10 models off of finishing an entire army?
Yeah. No, less than that. Like single figures. I mean, one's a King Tiger, but that'll be pretty straightforward. So that's the Germans done, the Winter Germans. And they'll still get use, but they're not gonna get anything more added to them. That's it. Have to box it off. I'm currently revisiting the Soviet Union. I can't remember if I mentioned last episode. Mad Bob Miniatures picked up two heavy howitzers from Mad Bob. I trolled the Facebook trading pages to pick up two Katushas.
Did you get them?
I did. Yeah, excellent. Yeah, it was really good. I mean, I didn't think people would be selling them because they're good, but I think it was because they were old Warlord kits. They were the hybrid.
Yeah, resin metal.
Resin metal.
You really like, you did like your bit of self punishment.
Yeah, but the one of the guys when he was saying, he's like, oh, it needs a bit of repair. I'm like, in my head, I'm like, I got it covered.
You're like, out of the box, this thing needs a bit of repair.
Yeah, exactly. You open it up, it already needs repaired. But I was, in my head, I thought, if there's any damage on it, I'm just going to damage it more, and that's battle damage, and just keep on rolling. But I got them at really good prices. I think in the end, it was like 50 or 60% retail in the second-hand market, and they both came, same, both kind of built, unpainted, so ideal for my needs. I constructed, I think, six plastic miniatures to crew the heavy howitzers, and what was lovely was the two Katushas. I didn't realise the Katusha, if you bought them brand new, came with two metal crew people, some guy holding a missile and some other guy with a little book, which really surprised me. So when I opened up these Katusha packages, I'm like, oh, there's two miniatures here, that's cool, whatever. Opened up the next one when it arrived a week or two later, I'm like, oh, there's those same two miniatures again. I've just added them into my heavy howitzer crew, just because they're there. I also had to dig out, they're about 80% painted.
Yeah, I've been busy.
Yeah, so they'll be done probably by the end of the weekend, depending on how Hamish's poo schedule goes.
Right.
If he keeps to his 2.5-hour poo schedule, I'll smash it out overnight, which is pretty good. Don't laugh. You got to find the time.
So, our bowl action games are played in the time frame of 2.5 hours. Are we going to call it the poo clock now?
The poo clock, yeah. Hamish's poo clock. Hamish's digestive tract works in the 2.5 hour scale.
Hamish's cycle.
Yeah. What else was I saying? Oh, yeah, I had to source some more bomb dogs.
Yes.
Which I've done. They're just sort of cheap plastic dog miniatures that I found on eBay. I've painted 8, 10, I can't freaking remember. There's a lot. But that's the Soviet Union expansion. I'm not going to use all of it in a list. I just still testing lists out. But the twin heavy howitzer, it's not a new trick.
No.
But with that Soviet expansion, I did run a 24 dice list recently, and we'll talk about that in the next sort of gaming section, if that's okay. And then to tie that off, I have also started my next main army. So with the Germans being finished, having a play with the Soviets just as a sort of,
old times
sake. For old times sake, that's quite good. I've started an American army, and There's a theme for it. We're not going to talk about it.
No.
The theme will develop over time. But the goal is I want to use the US Airborne miniatures from Warboard. And I bought truckloads.
Are the metal ones the plastic?
They are metal. I want...
I really like the metal ones.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of character. And it's because they've got so much kit on them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, pouches and padding and webbing and...
It's the same reason I like the British metal airborne models over the plastic ones. There's something about them.
Mm.
I know the plastics are more variable,
but yep.
They just look... Plus, it's nice to have a metal army.
I do. And it's great the way that the different manufacturers have been able to develop great plastic kits, great resin kits, great detail, they're modular, mm-hmm. changeable, adaptable, blah, 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 blah. But I like metal models.
Yeah.
I'm old, we're old. They're old-fashioned.
There's no reason for it either.
Just, yeah.
But it's better. Just
feel better. I mean, they're more work to convert.
Yeah.
They cost more. They cost more. You're constantly having to maintain them as they get chipped,
yep.
dropped, dented.
They're a pain to clean up.
Yeah. Mold lines.
Giant bases that they stand on.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we're not selling this, are we?
No, but I love it. But if we were talking, last time you talked about how much you'd bought, here's what I bought. So at least some of this is brand new from Warlord,
okay.
using a voucher that I won at an event in the past.
Blythe?
No, the one in Stirling, yeah. Stirling Wargamers.
Yeah.
Summer Offensive?
Could be.
Yep, go with that
one either.
Spent money at Warlord, also trolled the Facebook trade pages.
Yeah.
So what I got from where is irrelevant, but they're all Warlord miniatures. Four boxes of the airborne troop, so that's 40 guys.
Pretty good.
Once you take out though the light machine gun teams, you know, you've got a bit of mixing and matching because I'm not using those at this point. So four boxes of them. I got three blisters of the HQ, two blisters of the bazooka...
Sniper?
Bazooka light mortar.
Oh, yeah, yeah, bazooka light mortar. Yeah.
Whatever that is.
Yeah, because it's sniper flamethrowers there, yeah.
Yeah. There is some other support team, like forward observers.
There's a frog, yeah.
Yeah, might have gotten two blisters of them. The light howitzer, the light anti-tank gun.
Yep.
Two of the jeeps. There is also a Sherman. I picked up Oddball Sherman.
Nice.
Because I want another tank that looks a little bit different. There is the thing. What are they called? A 3/4 ton Dodge truck.
Yeah, Dodge 3/4 tons.
Took me a little while to find them on Warlord's website.
Yeah, they're called Dodds Weapons Carriers.
Exactly. But if you buy it with the... It can tow a light anti-tank gun, then they call it a Dodge 3/4 ton truck.
Yes.
That's just stupid.
Yes.
But anyway, got two of them on the way.
Cool kits.
I hope so.
You can leave the...
canopy off?
Yeah.
Well, I need to convert on maybe machine guns.
Yeah.
I think
that's what I did. I managed to find a Vickers gun line somewhere.
Yeah. No, I've... got the there's some sort of US guy with a medium machine gun and a jeep. He's like a little additional attachment thing.
Yes, you pick him up.
Yep, so got him. I believe on an M8 scout car. Is it an M8 scout car?
M3 scout car.
The one with the six wheels and the light anti-tank gun.
That's the M8 Greyhound.
Greyhound, yes. That got one of them.
Yes.
I think that was the expenditure.
That's the armored car they run into Nakatomi Towers.
Is that the one? Oh, it is as well!
I always noticed about a month ago.
Yeah, no way is that Armour 7 though. That took two hits off a missile launcher. It's top armour.
It drove into a building.
And drove into a building. No chance. That was the expenditure on the US. Sorry, the American list. There might have been one or two other blisters running about, but so that's the bulk of it, and it's really cheating to say that I built it, but because it's metal models, but it was cleaning, filing.
Oh yeah, that does take
place. And so that construction is underway. I don't actually have any of the vehicles built yet, but no, it's underway. I'm targeting potentially end of year, January.
So we're not going for an unveiling at a Nationals then?
No. I'd be properly rushed. Although, depending on Hamish's poo schedule,
you might get it done.
Anything's possible.
Anything can happen in the next 2.5 hours.
Precisely. I might get it done. But that's the hobby for me. Back burner stuff. 2 Universal Carriers and a squad of the 10. Was it Papua New Guinean Native Levy?
Yeah.
Guys, just I was on WarHQ's website. I seen them. I'll do something with them. That's it.
They're not going to be Germans.
No, they're not.
Oh, you're Soviets.
No, they're not going to go to.
No, Soviets. And actually, not the Americans either.
Maybe.
Are those the army in the future?
Oh, am I? Bloody Ive.
Mr. Graham Hart will not be very happy with that.
You can get over it. But that's me. I think I did a lot. And had a baby, so. Go on, beat that. Oh, and I should thank you on air for letting me raid your Xbox. Because, to get a quick touch on, again, of the Americans, I'm using the airborne miniatures, but I'm not using them as airborne themselves. So I need to go back and convert on bars, and you have let me raid your Xbox for plastic bars.
Many bars, because I, for some reason, bought a box of US Marine Corps.
We don't have that many bars left now.
I've got
8 bars in there.
Oh, I'm sure there's an Ambrew joke in there somewhere.
Yeah, but we can talk about the lists later on.
Yes. So what have I done? I've painted an M3 Scout car.
Sure.
Managed to finish it.
Yep.
I've built a 1,200 point Polish army, double platoon.
Mm-hmm.
I've built. I'm not going to say all of it. Most of it. Three T-26As, a gas truck. Don't ever get a gas truck in Resin.
You said Polish. Don't you mean Soviet?
Soviets. Sorry.
Yeah.
I drank a lot of cough medication over the last 2 years.
That's fair enough. Yeah, I'm looking at it from where we're sitting.
You know what the problem is? That's the same mold out for tanks as going to get from Polish Army.
Ah.
It's the same tanks.
Yeah.
So yeah, 3 T-26As, a gas truck, a couple of dog teams, heavy mortar and spotter, sniper team, salt engineers, 2 units of free boys.
Yep.
With flags, officer, warden's got the T-34.
Sorry, you should step in and say this is for...
Blythe.
Doubles tournament in Blythe. We spoke about this year a couple of episodes ago.
Yes.
So you're prepping for next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're actually making a list in advance of time.
That's disgusting and gaming.
As opposed to what it took last time. Which was disgusting and gaming.
Yeah, but you're being even more gamey by planning ahead.
I would say that it wasn't actually my fault that it was disgusting and gaming. It just happened that way. But what I have done is I've converted up 2 6-mile units of cavalry. Which...
Using...
Perry's Civil War horses and legs and then the plastic Soviet torsos. But the torsos that have the sort of smock jackets rather than the padded onesie that the rest of them wear.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I'm sure the listeners will know what you mean as well.
Yeah, so I need to... They all need base coated, they all need painted before January.
Oh yeah, it's all plastic and metal, we're staring at guys, but...
Yeah. It's great radio because we can see it sitting here on the table.
Yeah.
So what was on that?
What I meant when I said you were doing that for Blythe, you mentioned having the 2 free squads, so you're...
Yeah, double platoon.
Yeah, well no, it's not, it's 2 separate 600 point armies.
Yes, yep. Sorry, my apologies. One army's got, one list's got the 2 tanks and the cav in it. The other list's sort of the infantry focused one, I believe. Yep. Just a little bit flexible between everything. Just want to do something different. And I've always kind of liked the idea of cavalry. I've only ever seen it played once, maybe twice. Just something different.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a shame. From the first edition, they were excellent. Second edition, they got nerfed with the adjustments to Tough Fighter. That was the main the main problem with them. But I still think they're good units.
Yeah.
Are you running them as the Mongolian?
No, the normal ones. We can't afford the Mongolian ones.
Yeah, I suppose the Mongolians only come in veteran. But it's 600 points.
It's too risky to invade China.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is very expensive. But yeah, I'll get them painted up. They'll look quite good.
Mm-hmm.
What else have I done? I glued together a Polish airborne Polson gun, which is the little 360 rotational light autocannon.
Oh, yes, I do know it. Yep.
With the strange sort of targeting monocle that fits over the guy's face. That was a bit of an annoying thing to put together.
Yep.
Also built another light howitzer for the Polish airborne, so that I can properly double platoon them.
Cool.
Haven't painted them yet. And I swore that was the end of it. But then I did some shopping.
The shopping's a dangerous thing.
Yeah, I bought the little cut-down light Morris carrier for the airborne, just to tow the guns. I picked up a M7 Priest.
Yeah.
For my Marine Corps.
Yeah.
The medium howitzer, because I really like the model. And I think I want to give armoured artillery a try. Don't know how good it is. We'll find out.
Yeah, I suppose people are put off by it because it's open top.
Yeah. What else did I pick up? All from War HQ. A couple of Chaffees, a Hellcat, a couple of Jeeps, three-quarter ton Dodge trucks.
Mm-hmm.
Which again, we have to convert up with the medium machine guns.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of boxes of US infantry. That's for, we'll talk about later on for a list. I also ordered the second half of my white and red order dice for a Polish.
Yep.
And the new Polish D6s that came out.
Didn't see them?
Yep, the Warlord released a batch of new national dice over the last couple of weeks.
I must have just missed that.
Reds with a little white Polish eagle on them. Picked up the Fortress Budapest book, because I don't have it.
Yep. I saw the D-Day book on your table somewhere.
Yeah, I read quite close to that last week. It's not bad. Trying to think what else I picked up.
A quick word about the D-Day book.
Mm. It's huge.
It's very thick.
Mm.
It's very, very scenario focused.
Yeah, yeah. It was just 30. There's a lot of scenarios.
To be fair, I stopped counting.
I did count, but I lost count, I think.
I stopped counting because I did lose interest a little bit.
Was it in between poo breaks?
No. I got the book before Hamish arrived. It's a good book, and it is very, focused on D-Day, as it says in the title. And for people that are enthusiastic about replaying it, it'll be excellent. Is that some weird duck invasion? I don't know if you can hear that on the radio.
I think it's like a Mallard dive bombing formation.
That's a bit bizarre.
I'm pretty sure I saw this in, what was that film with John Cusack? 2012, The One Behind the World?
Oh, yeah.
The birds all not fly away before the world came today.
A little bit. It's a shame we can't use this as a segue into the next section. We just can't.
No, there's no way to segue. But I also purchased something else, because I had some savings. I bought the big giant Berlin box.
Oh, right. The thing that had the Soviet...
Yeah, Berliner Bust, is it called?
Can't remember.
I got the collector's one because it's the buildings I'm primarily after.
Gotcha.
Because the buildings are the ones that we took to me at Berlin Houses. They're for a new table I'm going to build when I get my new house.
Cool, cool. So you ordered this from War HQ?
Yeah.
Has he delivered it yet?
Oh, he ordered it on Monday.
All right. What day is it today? Thursday?
Eh,
give him time.
I think he's in Manchester at the moment or something.
Yeah.
You should tag that guy.
Yeah.
He should
have a minion back in his warehouse.
Well, he's got some of the stuff. Like, he's got the Chaffees already and he's got a box of infantry. It'll probably be next week or something. I'm not really in a rush for it.
No.
Although, I am going to take the world's largest amount of pictures of opening that giant box of Berlin.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking it's like coffin-sized.
There's a lot of plastic crack in there.
I've got T-7, King Tiger going to you.
Yes.
IS-2 going to Mr. Warden.
Yes.
I think one to you as
well. Yes.
I'm going to basically flip the Soviet infantry plastics and the Grenadier plastics and the SS plastics on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll keep the rest kicking about for the future fall of Berlin German army.
Yeah.
Of which I've been trying to write a list for, but I can't think of any inspiration.
It takes a while. I mean, we're going to talk about US lists coming up, and we'll talk about that when we get to it. But yeah, inspiration.
Yeah, it's difficult.
You have to take a while, but it gets there.
I mean, it couldn't help that I sat down to watch Downfall on Netflix the other day just for the non-Hitler scenes.
Yeah.
And let me find out it's not on Netflix anymore.
Oh dear.
and it came off Amazon Prime as well. So I was traumatised by that sound of watching Patton, which didn't really help.
No. No assistance at all.
So yeah, that's me for a hobby and shopping. I might win the shopping, but I definitely don't win the hobby.
Nah, I got you this time, mate.
You did.
Don't worry.
Congratulations.
Don't worry at all.
So that's Bonner and Ward is still trailing behind us at minus 100 points each.
By a lot, yes. So, on to the next section to talk a tiny little bit about gaming.
Yeah, a little bit about gaming.
Okay.
And now the latest briefing from the Intelligence Corps.
So, gaming-wise, I know we both talked about all the different hobby aspects that we've done in terms of what we like spending money, but we also constructed and painted stuff.
Yes.
Gaming-wise, though, the focus of the stuff I had from my Soviets, the heavy howitzers, the dogs, was to test out a big dice list.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, so for the, we're sort of halfway through the Scottish tournament year, and the first half I've used Germans, and I've done quite well. Not won any events, but I finished a couple of seconds, and I've had some really good games and some good challenges with them. But revisiting the Soviets, I wanted to follow a bit of a, you know, meta trend and run the big dice, but I wanted to push it and I went to 24 dice. So it was a 24 dice army, dual platoon, and it was virtually an inexperienced horde of two inexperienced lieutenants, two or four units of Schaffrad, the convict peasant people.
Yep.
You know, so units of 12, five of them have got rifles, the other, you know, seven are just meat sacks.
Yep.
For taking the hits. Four two-man dog teams, two anti-tank rifles. The anti-tank rifles were regular. Dog teams were inexperienced. The shaft rather inexperienced. The lieutenants are inexperienced. Two heavy howitzers with spotters are regular. Commissar, medic, two seven-man, whatever they are, squads with mm-hmm. submachine guns. Mm-hmm. They were regular. Katusha, two of them. Inexperienced, and there's a smattering of other units, you know, toes for the horses and
yeah.
all that sort of gear. And I just tested out against local player Graham Thomason. He ran his tournament list for his Brits.
That's a British one, yeah, yeah.
So he's got a tried and tested list. He's got a, well, there's a Sherman in there, there's a Staghound, two, what do you call those, universal carriers with, oh yeah. With then Gurkha paratroopers in it, Jeep, veteran Jeep, the Flamer, you know, two 10-man units, the free Indian 10-man unit, you know, a tooled British list, the free air observer as well, a medium mortar, there was a sniper, there might even have been a light howitzer in there, you know, he had a 14, 15 dice list, good list, and we thought we'd play a test run at an actual mission, as it would appear in the Scottish Nationals. Mm-hmm. So we played Demolition, as it was from the book, which was a bit of a scary prospect because I hadn't done it for a long time.
Yeah.
I had a truck with...
Was it a veteran truck?
I don't think it was. I can't even remember. I had two light mortars as well.
All right.
Inexperienced light mortars. So I was trying out a lot of different things, just, you know, mass units. Two snipers as well, they were both regular.
That's pretty good.
We ran this mission out, and we only gave it 2.5 hours, so we had to call it a little bit away through turn five. There was not going to be a winner, you know, so it wasn't a great test. In the demolition, you have to obviously...
Yeah.
Get a unit to touch your opponent's, you know, base to blow it up. What I did find, though, with the Soviets, I could run it as an offensive and defensive team just because I had raw units available. So I blobbed up the free infantry squad as a bubble on top of my objective.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just physically surrounded it with bodies. And then had coverage from the heavy howitzers if anything got close. I then ran the offensive team, which was the Dogbinds, the two regular squads. There was another Shaprad squad, a bunch of officers, the light mortars. They made a dash for the enemy objective, and they got stomped on pretty hard. But my opponent was never looking like getting a win. Just couldn't do it. You know, he just didn't have enough shots that were being effective. Because once you've got squads that are going down hard cover, I sustained a lot of down orders. The only downfall would be is if it's for maybe the tiebreaker. Yeah. I bled dice like nothing else. You know, he had, I think, 14 order dice. I started with 24. At the end of the game, he had 10 and I had 10. You know, so I didn't kill that much of his, but he absolutely was just plugging units left, right, and centre. You know, cheap trucks.
It's all you can do.
Yeah.
There's so much to you that you need to stop him. You've got to stop you getting near it.
Yeah. Yeah, but that was, I mean, I've only played one game with it. I think I need to trim down from 24. Not that it's an unmanageable amount, but maybe up in the veterancy of a few other things to make them just a bit more effective.
Yeah, something special.
Yeah, just to give it a little bit more staying power. Yeah. That would maybe be
could work
everything so far, but twin heavy house or twin sniper, twin katusha, not too bad.
Pretty good.
Not too bad. I was unlucky. His staghound, I managed to land a heavy howitzer hit on it, and I also managed to land a katusha hit on it in turn one, and I left him with 8 pins. One more pin and it would have ran. I could not get another pin on it. I was gutted. And just the look in his face was just priceless.
I can actually visualise the look on his face right now.
Yep, he was most distressed. Yeah. As he should have been.
Yeah.
As he should have been. But one of the takeaways, though, is the dog binds offer so much board control.
Yes.
The
suicide Japanese guys are the same.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because they're there, and they're a threat.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to focus on them.
I would tip the dog mines to be better, though.
You think so?
Well, do the Japanese boomstick guys, they still have to charge and stuff, yeah?
The suicide guys, I think, just charge towards the tank and then go boom.
Yeah, but they'd still have to charge through cover. They can only move 12 inches.
Yeah, something like
that. The dog mines can move 6 and then, you know, launch their dogs at 18 inches, so they've got an effective 24-inch range. And they ignore intervening cover because they roll off that table.
I should probably read the rules for dog mines.
Yeah, but it's a 4+. If you're within 18 inches of your target, I suppose the only downfall compared to the boomstick guys is the tank can't have an advance or run order on it. You have to get it before it actions that turn.
It's quite good. So you haven't used the first strike weapon if you can.
Yeah, or you just let it sit there.
Yeah.
Or you let a couple of them sit there hidden.
Just in case.
So if your opponent moves their tank or truck or whatever within range of you, you can't get it that turn. But when you've got 24 order dice, and the next turn comes around,
and so you're getting the first dice.
That's
good.
Empty, yeah. Empty. Oh, stupid order dice.
Dice in the bag again.
Dice in the bag. Pain in the ass. But
just to clarify, when did you become Stephen Bonner?
Never. Not ugly enough for that.
Ooh. Well, he's not here, so he gets it.
Yeah, he can. Can't defend himself, mate.
Won't show up, so.
Yep. But I think.
I should have been invited.
He's always invited.
Ah.
We've got the Home Guard Radio Facebook chat. There's only 4 people in it.
This is very true.
Yeah. You, me, Warden Bonner.
Yeah.
And when the call goes out, do you want to do a podcast? People respond or not.
Yes.
That's it.
Fair point. Yep.
He's doing hobbit stuff.
Shaving his feet.
Whatever. Eating.
Trying to adjust into regular society with the big people.
The big folk.
It comes in pints too.
But I think in terms of gaming, did you have any gaming in between then and now? Full action game, that is.
Did I play you before the last podcast or after?
We talked about that. That was the last podcast.
So that'll be the last game I played.
Yeah.
I've had no time to play any games whatsoever.
No fun.
So, we're starting a new War Games Club in Edinburgh. Mm-hmm. And that's taken up quite a bit of organisational time. And because we're gamers, we tend to procrastinate quite a lot.
Gamers do.
So what should be sort of 20-minute conversations about what sort of plastic tubs we're going to buy turn into 4-hour rants.
Yeah, you know what? I really don't think a conversation about plastic tubs should last more than 5 minutes.
It shouldn't, but we're gamers. Because either ours, they buy the cheap IKEA ones or they buy the really good, really useful tubs.
Is this a podcast conversation? Because I'm already bored by it.
Well, I mean, it could help, you know, people who have problems sleeping.
Yeah, I don't have any issues sleeping.
Anyone with anxiety issues might enjoy this.
What?
Until we go clapping back. I'm on the way. But, so yeah, I've been tied up with that for the last...
Okay. So no gaming for you.
But soon there'll be gaming every Wednesday night.
Good. But for the gaming section, let's tie a knot in it there. Yeah. Other than I'll be giving the Soviet big dice lists another couple of runouts. And I've got an eye of using Big Dice Soviet at the next Dwarf event, which is this month. It's on the 27th.
It is.
Of July.
And I'm not here again.
Nope.
This has been a really bad year for me.
What is it? Is it Total Eyes?
Ah, it's Total Eyes.
Yeah. So, 3 games, 1,000 points.
Great lunch.
Yes.
Yes. Good day, actually. Very good day.
There we go.
Unfortunately, you do have to go to Fife.
I know. Mordor.
Mordor, or their side of the wall, where the White Walker lives.
But.
Yeah, I got to stop calling that.
I know. He'll hate you. He'll hate you for it. But, yeah, so, we'll tie a knot on the wargaming side.
Yeah.
And, where do you want to go now? America?
Well, two choices.
Okay.
We can go NATO or the Warsaw Pact. America or Poland?
America.
We'll go America first then.
Okay.
We'll go America first.
Next section.
Next section. We'll both be in America, we'll both be in Poland.
Okay.
So let's America.
America.
So.
Do we want to give this a section break?
Yeah, we could do.
Okay.
Tactical Fallout.
Okay, we're back again.
Yeah.
Hopefully you'll find something interesting to fill that silence.
This is the part where we tell you this is actually what we do.
Nah, we can't do that.
Can't do that.
But for a second there, I thought, as an introduction to this America section,
the song,
I was going to, the song from West Side Story.
I don't watch musicals, I'm sorry.
Alright, well, I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole any further.
That's the perfect title for the show right there, but you never...
What, West Side Story, or...?
Or whatever the song's called.
Come and
to
America. Come and live in America? Have a think about it. Google it.
I do have a couple of songs in mind for titles, okay?
Okay. Anyway, we don't want to break any copyright laws, but... So, we should say... So, the reason... We're going to America is that my next army is America, and Craig likes America in terms of lists. He's got US Marine Corps.
Yep.
Plus
building another American list.
Yeah. So plus other iterations. So we thought we'd just talk about our lists.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you and you.
You sure?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. First.
So America.
Bleep yeah.
Bleep yeah. Going to save the bleeping day.
Yeah.
So a couple of podcasts ago, I played Craig, and I had an American list that had 3 8-man units of inexperienced infantry.
Yeah.
And I was really struggling with to get a list that I liked. And it took a while. We were talking earlier in this podcast about inspiration. Inspiration finally struck.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a... The idea behind this list is it's a tournament competitive situation. And I will just start reading out what I've got. Well, you've already heard the list of stuff I've built previously in the podcast. So there'll be our second lieutenant, regular. There'll be 3 units of 6 regular riflemen. 2 of them will be armed with BARs. So they're 70 points a unit. There'll be 2 8-man engineer squads at regular. Each one of them will have a flamer, so they're 100 points per unit. I've marked down the 114mm rocket launcher. So that's their multi-launcher.
Yeah, is that the one out of the Forces American book?
That's out of the American book. So it's 52 points in experience. Both myself and Craig have the Armies of the United States book in front of us, like a bunch of nerds.
Oh, yes.
So we can refer you...
It's important because the laptop's actually sitting on top of all the herbal action books.
So Army of America, page 33.
Right in the middle.
Yeah,
the left-hand side.
Right-hand side. Right-hand page.
Left-hand side.
Whatevs.
It's on a page.
So, yeah, it's a team fixed weapon, multi-launcher, four-man crew, 52 points inexperienced. And that's where I had a quick stumble, because the land mattress...
Mm.
The land mattress is cheaper.
Yes.
One less man does the same job. I think it's 46 points.
Did we ever figure out the answer to the question about who can take the land mattress?
I don't want to go there.
Yeah, at the moment. It doesn't say anything.
I don't want to go there. Let's
pretend that didn't happen.
Let's body swear past that. So I'd marked down the rocket launcher. We'll actually be going with the land mattress. A regular Jeep. A regular flamethrower team, a regular sniper team. With the sniper team, I'm buying them submachine guns as well, just because it's a good thing to do. My armored car slot will be taken up by a Jeep with a medium machine gun.
Yep.
I'm sure that's like 36 points. Ridiculous.
They are a very good value for money.
Yep. And then my big expense is a veteran 105 Sherman. For 220 points.
You're a fan of that.
Yeah, so that was pretty much the only thing that carried over from our 1,000-point game a couple of weeks ago. Maybe even a couple of months ago.
Is it Patch or one of those guys used to run the 105 quite a lot?
No idea.
Mm-hmm. No idea. Indeed.
But the 105 Sherman, page 40 of Armies of the United States.
Ah, so you're running the Asda price one.
Yeah. Well, it's 220 points veteran.
Yeah, as opposed to 244 for the slightly better one.
Yeah, don't need it.
Gyro stabilised as well.
It is gyro stabilised. Yeah. So for those that are in the know or not in the know, gyro stabilised ignores the minus one for movement. The focus for me then is moving this thing within 6 inches and hitting you with a medium howitzer on a 2+ and killing stuff.
So you could call it the master key.
Because
it opens any doors.
Opens any doors.
Apparently underslung shotguns are called that as well.
Is it?
Yeah. I think this is much more effective opening doors.
Didn't know that.
You're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off!
And the other units to add to the list, I've got two Dodge 3/4-ton trucks with medium machine guns.
Yep.
So currently that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Currently that's 14 dice and I've still got about 13 points left to play with. Oh, sorry, it was 17 points left to play with.
Yes, it was a change.
Yeah, because if I dropped the rocket launcher back to the land mattress, that freed up some points. At least 17 points, which leaves me 1 point shy of getting the Marine Corps dog dude, who I like.
Yes, they are very cool.
Because he's 18 points, so I've got 17 points left to spend. I'm not quite sure what to do with. I can add...
How many squads you got?
5. And that's the max. The two engineer squads are in the Dodge trucks. That means they're at capacity.
There's some SMGs in the engineers because they've got flamethrowers to be closer.
Yeah, but I suppose I was trying to get some sort of points efficiency. I was looking as well, adding a friend to the second lieutenant.
Okay.
But the concern there is that the Jeep... It's got carrying capacity of 3.
Yes.
So he carries a flamer and he could carry the lieutenant.
This is true.
You know, if it's those missions where you need to get stuff off the board.
Yeah.
That also means that if for some reason the flamer failed, you know, he could stay in the Jeep, keep it alive. It doesn't have a gun on it, but, you know, I don't want just to buy a dice. Yeah, exactly. I don't want to buy a unit just to get an order dice. I want to get something effective. And I'm already at 14 dice, which I'm pretty comfortable with.
1,000 points, not bad.
Yeah, and there's some really effective units in there. So, So I've got the core of it. I own 90% of it, or, you know, the postman will be bringing it to me pretty soon. So that's that. There's no great sort of, I'm not going to say theme, or it's a competitive list. You know, you look at it in the cold light of day, there's three flamers, there's a multi-launcher, and that veteran Sherman with a medium howitzer. It's pretty handy. I have got three medium machine guns mounted on armor 6 vehicles.
Yep.
And I have got 6 bars. You know, so with the US move and fire rule,
yeah,
they're going to be squirting out, you know, a good number of shots.
Carbines are good.
Yeah, you know, there's, what is that, 12 rifles, 6 bars, over 3 units. They're going to put out
24 dice a turn.
A reasonable amount of firepower, and then the trucks are moving up with engineers, you know, so.
And the MMGs on top as well.
And the medium machine guns on top, yeah. You know, there might be a bit to be said about dropping the Sherman back to a Stuart to increase the number of small arms fire, but I think the medium howitzer is a good threat.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there is an alternative for medium howitzer barring the priest.
Yeah. So now I'm happy to put the 105 Sherman in there. But that's me.
Yeah. So mine, again, is a list for tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
We played about 90% of it as a tank platoon. And the ones that don't allow tank platoon, I've got my Marine Corps.
Yeah.
That is what listed to Cambridge. I really like that list. So I decided to do a list based on like US cavalry platoon.
Mm-hmm.
I always loved that idea, and I want one of those cavalry hats, right? I'm just going to say it loud now. I want the cowboy hat, right? So the list is regular command Chaffee.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking sort of late war-ish, mid-late war. Late war, actually. Running regular Chaffee. They both have recce on them. I haven't given them any extra guns because the extra guns aren't worth it. It's literally just the medium machine gun in the hull, medium AT gun and recce, two of them. They're backed up by an M18 Hellcat because I figured I needed something that was a little bit harder hitting than the medium AT gun.
So that's got the, is that not the heavy?
It's the heavy anti-tank gun.
Yeah. Open top.
Open top, and it's only a 7 plus armor.
Yeah.
So with that, the idea is the Hellcat will hang back because of the longer range.
Yes.
It won't go charging in with the rest.
No, because it's half range is 36 inches. Yes.
So it'll be like a sniper.
Yeah.
It'll find itself some nice cover and sit there and snipe at people, like it's supposed to do. I then have 2 HMG heavy machine gun arm jeeps.
Yep.
Because I really want to give them a try. I think you're right, I think HMGs have definitely got a place.
Yeah, I said that last time. I know I don't have any in this list, but I reckon they should make a comeback.
I mean, with them they'll be out flanking.
Yeah.
So HMG shots will take out gun crews and things quite easily.
Yeah. And yeah, side armor of,
yeah,
you know, if you bump into the Stuarts, get on the side armor, you'll be +2.
Yeah.
Overall. Yeah.
So a couple of them plus having painted one up from a US Marine Corps, I actually really like the model.
Yeah.
I then have 3 8-man regular infantry sections or squads, sorry, because they're Americans.
Yeah.
With 1 bar in each.
Okay, so that's
a bit familiar.
That's 85 points.
85 points.
Yep.
Although one of the units does have a submachine gun.
Was that just spare points? Yeah.
It was just
spare points. Okay.
I still have 2 points spare overall, which I can't use. So.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
What are you gonna do with 5 points?
Well, buy a Panzerfaust, but that's can't do that. That's
a fair point. Although they do have the captured Panzerfaust models.
Yeah, I eyed them off as well, but can't use them, so.
And then each one of those squads are mounted in a Dodge 3/4-ton truck with the pilot energy.
Yeah, for 46 points.
For 46 points, 3 of them. Because I think they're an exceptionally good transport option.
They really are.
might be one of the best transfer options in the game for the points for the money.
I would agree completely.
I also really like the model, and it benefits from being quite small, so it can sort of scoot and hide. Yeah. Whereas
I'm not too.
American trucks are freaking massive.
Oh, the actual trucks, like the 2.5 ton.
Yeah.
And the Mac, yeah, they're
bigger than the Blitz, bigger than the Opel Blitz.
Yeah. And they were. I mean, they were.
Oh yeah.
Because they had three axles for the most part.
They did. I just don't think it's not that fast. I've said it's the 7th Cavalry, but yeah, it's basically the weaker element of the 7th Cavalry. Based in the Pacific during the war, but basically painted so they'll do Europe.
War.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you have, but I've already ordered my army t-shirt.
I have not ordered my army t-shirt yet, but I have Google researched it and I have got a placeholder on it on eBay. So we'll get... Yeah, I'll get there eventually.
We'll be in there sort of that later on.
Yeah.
I have not been able to find a set of dice for the army. Because there was a Flames of War release for their Vietnam range, which came with the 7th Cav, you know, the sort of yellow shield with a black stripe across it.
Yeah.
There was a release of dice from Flames of War, but they're no longer in production. And I cannot find these dice for love nor money. I can't find them.
Yeah.
I spoke to Dice of War. Dice of War, the Aussie guys.
Yes. I got my dice from them. More about them in the future.
They could knock up the shield for me.
Yeah.
The logos. Or like the proper cavalry cross saber thing, something like that. But I'm not sure.
Well,
I could just go for Allied. White Star, Olive Drab.
Is cost an issue or is it?
Not really. But I mean, I am planning to buy a 7th Cavalry Stetson hat to go with his army. Just because I suck 50 quid.
I'd splash out on the dice. I mean, like, that was my first dealings with Dice of War. You know, coming from Australia in terms of their production time, delivery time, you know, it was on point. Then 10 working days I had the product.
I'm quite open to getting them. I just don't know if I don't know what I want. Do I want the shields? Do I want the cross sabers? I think the shields would look cool.
I think the shields would look better. The cross sabers will get lost.
Yes.
Unless you've got, you know, bigger dice.
So I was thinking like black dice with no green dice with a shield on it, possibly, or black. I'm not sure which one you. I just can't decide. I've got dice all the other armies.
Yeah.
This is the first time I'm going to be able to find a set of dice or retail that I can get.
Yeah.
So that's all in order from the venerable Mr. Walker from War HQ.
So how many order dice then is
it's
this?
It's only 11.
And that's the 1,000 points.
Mm.
Is that a problem?
No, I don't think so. I've got two Chaffees, VGMT, on the Recce, and a heavy Hellcat. I don't have any howitzers.
Yeah.
But the heavy AT gun can fire as a howitzer.
Yeah.
The Chaffees can fire as a howitzer. In fact, they've got some rule about their gun.
Whoa, ladies and gentlemen, we're back to the rule book.
Was it not one of those things? Yeah, okay, so you might have to help me with this one. Old Mark 1 rules. So instead of causing D2 hits, HE for the 75mm gun that the Chaffees got, an HE shell causes D6 hits rather than D2.
Yeah.
So that's the old rules. Sorry. I'm trying to figure out how that translates into the second edition bolt action.
I think it fires as a medium howitzer.
You think so?
Yeah.
That's what I thought, but I've never actually fired as a howitzer, so I'm going to have to look it up.
Well, mate, I'm sure if pretty much these days, if you're a medium anti-tank gun, you cross over into a medium howitzer?
Medium AT gun cross over to an HE 1 inch.
Okay.
Which is... This is like some brilliant radio here, because I'm actually looking it up.
But that's the thing, though. A 1 inch template, that's a light.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 1 inch is light, 2 inches medium, 3 inches heavy, 4 inches something super heavy. Better.
Does that mean it turns up to a 2-inch diameter then?
I think that is the case. I'm sure, let's not bore
you. You know what? I've got the Warlord next week, I'll ask them.
Just ask them.
And they will know the answer. But we'll ask them anyway.
Or there'll be people twitching listening to this and then we'll be screaming at the radio. Maybe they'll send us an email. Anyway.
We do occasionally get emails.
Do we bother responding?
Well, I don't know. I wasn't aware that I had an uncle that lived in Africa that would pay a lot of money.
Oh, no.
So did you know about that?
No.
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 So I did was I took all my savings that I had.
Yep.
I gave it to him.
Yep. And is he still working on it?
He's working on it.
Oh, good.
Apparently Western Union's blocked the payment.
If you need some more money, you ask me and I will give you more money. Because
you've got a college fund or something, I'm assuming we can use for this.
All okay. of it, yeah. Yeah. I'll give you all of it. Good call. And yeah, good.
So I did also get two lists for Nationals.
That's nice.
So yeah, that's my list. Okay. I just wanted something fast and mobile.
It's interesting that neither of us have an Air Observer.
I can't handle the stress anymore.
Yeah, I didn't think you could. Sky Wizard was not a good addition to your team.
I genuinely used to really quite like the gamble of the roll.
Yeah.
But then it started to go wrong. And it just would go wrong more often than it went right, which shouldn't happen.
To go back to the purchase, and I found this great little seller on eBay selling just, you know, not Airfix, but like model aircraft kits. I feel like I'm back in my word, but I'm adding aircraft to my Germans because I've got enough models that can double up as spotters, but I just wanted to do
something different.
A German aeroplane, and went for a Focke-Wulf 190.
Nice.
Yeah. Badass.
Then I've got a J87 that I've never actually finished one of the Stukas.
No. I was going to go for one of them with the big cannons on the wheels.
Yes.
Like they flew in the east.
Yeah, 20mm tank gun.
But then I just like the Focke-Wulf.
Yeah.
One thing, it's good aircraft. And I like the look of the kit. I have also bought one for my Americans.
Nice.
I don't want to say what it is.
That's okay.
Because it'll betray a few of the quirkier ideas, but it was an obscure kit it's an obscure aircraft and it's an obscure kit. And it took me a goodly while to. It took me a good while to put in the right search in eBay to find it.
Okay. So, not like when I bought Sky Wizard, I simply typed in FOU Corsair and went cheapest first.
Yeah. No, when I finally got this search into eBay, there was only one model kit, one seller.
Yeah, I saw that when you sent it to me. I was so tempted for a laugh to buy it.
I would have been gutted, my friend. I would have been gutted.
I'm still fairly certain it was you that bought that giant bulk load of Polish stuff on eBay.
It really what for £71 or £77? It was not, mate.
You can buy £3.
It was not. Another random news. I know we're straying from America, but look, we're happy with our lists.
Yes, we're happy
with our
lists.
We just need to test them.
They're going
to
be fun, they're going to look good.
Build them and test them. Yes. And competitive.
Yes.
I know that 3 flamers will be alright.
Yeah. Although, judging by recent Facebook comments regarding somebody suggesting taking 4 units of German Pioneers in an army.
Well, I've basically got 2 units of Pioneers there.
4 units of Pioneers, Flamethrower, and the Pew Pew Hanomag of the Flamethrowers.
Yeah.
And I think there's a flamingo in there as well.
Can't be all about the fire, but I got caught up. I think it was in between Hamish's poo changes. A late night, you know, 3-4 in the morning. I got on a really sort of romantic search through eBay for aircraft.
Okay, I was worried we were going with this.
Where's the romance going? So I'm currently bidding on a Messerschmitt 262.
Nice.
Loved the look of those aircraft. So
they are very cool.
So I might be adding those to the German army.
I've always thought of getting one of the P-38 Lightnings for the Marines.
Yeah.
They didn't have them, but they just look cool.
They just look good. But that's...
Yeah, that's the US.
But ladies and gents, that's our US section. So if anybody's got any thoughts and comments they want to add, or want to advise me how I can spend 17 points, please let me know. That would be much appreciated. So
we've got an option, we can talk about Poland.
Well, I guess we'll do a section break. And the next section we're talking about team events.
Team events. That's a good way to round out.
Team events.
Yes.
Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back once again to the next section, which is a talk about team bowl action events. Again, I hope Craig will find some suitable cut sequence to bridge the gap there that we left. Don't think too hard on it.
No. I'm thinking sort of a South Park rant about teamwork. Or there's no I in team, but there's a me in this.
Maybe I'll figure
something out.
Maybe that.
It would probably not be funny.
But team events, World Team Championship in Poland.
Yes.
It's now a number of months in the past.
We had a good time.
And we did have a good time. We spoke a lot about doing a bigger podcast on this.
We did.
And I think as time's gone on, other podcasts have touched on it. The consensus is it was an extremely good, fun event. It was 100% competitive.
Yep. Without being gaming.
Correct.
Yes.
Because the difference is it was 100% competitive event. Nobody was your win at all costs, bending the rules, yep, cheating, anything like that. Every list was tuned.
Yep.
Which meant the playing field was level. And that meant that the 48 players that were there, at the end of day one, we were not sitting back complaining about lists that we'd encountered,
nope,
or lists that were coming up, or we weren't shooting dirty looks at other teams because of, oh my god, they took that. We were talking about how tough the games were, how good the games were, how good our opponents were, or weren't, or a luck, unluck. The lists were not even a discussion point. It was player skill, rules knowledge, tactics. It was a proper game and event.
I would say one of the things that made it like that, I think, was that, so say for example, Scotland A gets pulled against Poland A.
Mm-hmm.
The captains would decide who plays who.
Yeah.
It wasn't like player A is playing player A. It was down to the captains to make the call.
Yeah.
And see what list was good and what.
Yeah. I mean, there was still a bit of a random element to it.
Yeah, but that made things very different, I think.
So there's been a number of other podcasts,
perhaps,
including a recent one from WarHQ, when you've got the two organisers.
Yeah, but he's got Alzheimer's, isn't he?
Yeah, but, you know, Dave Nolan and Paul Walker
put
in a lot of work there. You yourself, you are the head rules judge?
I was just one of the rest at the time.
Well, I heard on a recent WarHQ podcast that you're some sort of head bowl action adjudicator.
I think I am now.
Well, I heard it on a podcast, mate, so I'm telling you. If you've got listeners.
I heard it on a Skype call, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah. So that's the case, but.
That is the intention, I believe.
I'll say it again. I heard it on a podcast, mate, so it must be real.
It was.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Unlucky, but. You won't cap. Well.
Listen, yeah, I'm never going to make the team.
I could have done, but.
I can't, because I can't play any events this year.
No, true. But moving forward, you guys are all working towards
next year,
2020. And all, I think, unless you want to say more, which we can, but all I would say is if there's other countries that want to take part, we should get in contact with the organisers.
Well, I have heard that the number of countries taking part is more than last year.
I would hope so.
Significantly more.
Good.
And from very far afield, let's say.
Good. I've heard.
I think
Japan.
Yes.
South Africa.
Yeah. I think Rudy is bringing half the population of
Johannesburg. Rudy's an absolute champion.
He's a brilliant.
He's a great man.
They drove. From South Africa. They basically drove most of the way. They did some flights and things on a tour.
Well,
they stuck it in the middle of a tour.
Rudy's still a great guy. Good to play him. Amazing dude. Can't wait for to meet the South Africans again.
They were trying to come across for the Nationals in September.
Yeah.
Don't know if you can. They're still up in the air.
There's still tickets.
But that was something I noticed that. So obviously we were there.
Mm-hmm.
Myself, you, some convicts from Fife, and the Juggernauts were there, or not all of them, but.
Well, you a few. Don't call them Juggernauts. They were there representing England. So.
Team England.
Just so happens they were all Juggernauts, which is not their fault.
And there's a lot of perceived preconception of what people thought it might be like when we were there.
Well, it was.
And we actually met a across the board, an amazingly great bunch of gamers.
Yeah.
All of them.
Everybody was there
yeah.
with the same mindset. Nobody was, you know, looking out for historical or anything
nope.
like that. It was a competitive event.
But they also self-policed themselves quite a bit.
Did they?
There wasn't anything that ridiculous.
Wasn't there?
Well, the worry was we were going to see like a rash of double Stalingrad lists or Stalingrad lists.
But
the Stalingrads were the double heavy howitzers, and we didn't. There weren't as many of them as I was expected. There were some very strange lists as well.
Sorry?
Very strange lists. That,
well, yeah, you've got sort of 10, 12 yeah. different countries approaching it.
It was good.
Yeah,
it
I was, mean, you look at Scotland, we were the only. We had two teams there.
Yeah.
You know, we were lucky enough to get one of the second slots.
You did, yeah.
And we were the only nation to take Romanians.
Yeah.
You know, so there was only two Romanian lists there. They were ours. They were both very similar in terms of, well, one had twin heavy howitzers, one had one yeah. well, with twin medium, etc., etc. We thought that was a go-to yeah. list. Turns out it probably wasn't, sadly.
It's something Dave said way early in the planning of this year's event. Something he notes in The Hobbit. Everyone comes to their own meta. And we tend to play straight in the rulebook. Mm-hmm. So we see a lot of strange things a lot of other areas won't see. It was interesting to see just how widespread it is across the world.
Yeah.
I mean, the Spanish team came from literally nowhere. I wasn't even aware Spain had a big bowl action scene and walked off with the title.
You know what, I don't necessarily think you can judge people on, or judge nations on how many, how big their pool is.
It's more a case of it. So you see a lot of posts on the internet from the German guys and Dutch guys.
Yeah.
I've never seen a lot from the Spanish guys.
No, and that's true.
And they were great guys.
Get
despite the fact they were playing with the translated version of the rulebook.
Every team was great.
Oh yeah.
Every team were good value to be around. I had an
exceptional vodka tasting session on the Friday night with one of the German guys.
They are all good players. But that, let's just nip that one in the bud, I think.
Yeah.
WTC, worth following on for
next year.
For those that, you know, yes. maybe not get the chance to play. If you want to play, they should inquire with their national reps or contact the organisers.
If you don't have a national rep because your country's not got a team together, but you think you can get one,
yep, then contact
them. Get in touch with Paul Walker.
And Dave Nolan.
Dave Nolan.
Google their names on Facebook.
Because the bigger this gets, the more hilarity we're going to have right. in Malaga.
So the next team event, though, that we want to talk a little bit about is called Three Good Men.
Yes.
And it's been run by Russell Wright, who was the Welsh bolt action captain in Poland.
Hashtag not Welsh.
Hashtag not Welsh.
Has met a Welsh person.
He has met. I had the pleasure of Team Wales's company on the Sunday night in Poland.
You did?
And man, we got super drunk.
Yeah, you kept trying to kiss me when you got back.
Did I?
Yeah, kept licking my face.
Yeah.
Did I? Yeah.
Right. Well, let's cut that conversation there.
Then Graham almost fell backwards down the stairs, blowing his own nose.
Well, we did drink a lot that night. But back at the back gate, so. Russell and some of his team down in Southend-on-Sea in England are putting together a team event, and it's not focused on nations, it's clubs.
Yeah.
Clubs and groups of individuals
yeah.
forming teams, three men or three...
No, players.
Three players.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is 2019, man, 2019.
It'll be 2020.
It will be, yes.
Yeah. and it's running on the 25th and the 26th of January 2020. And the provision is that your team have to either be all Axis or all Ally.
Yep.
And they'll sort out the red versus blue stuff.
Yes.
And they've got their players back out.
Yes, they have.
Which is pretty robust.
Yeah, it's generic platoons.
Yes.
But you can.
Yes.
You can have theatre selection if you've got a justified reason to do it.
Yes. So
say background, say yeah.
Oh, justification for it. And then I think the lists might be reviewed.
They are, I believe. Speaking of Russell a few weeks ago, he's trying to get me the best advice on where to stay in the hotel and how to get there. I'm trying to find him in the lists. He's talking about Playboys. I haven't even asked if I can go at this point.
I'm in the same boat, but I think we're focused on making it happen. So we're taking a home guard radio team.
We are. So it's me and you.
Yes.
And A and Other.
And Other, yep.
Depending on which one of the two of them's not having babies at the time.
Well, I would hope both of them would not be having babies at the time.
Those hobbits. Like rabbits.
But we've got the theme.
We have.
Go for it.
So, for a long time, Mr. Warden has talked about this 7th Panzer German army he was building, the early war stuff.
Yes. Invading Poland, invading France.
Invading France. And he's named a couple of the models. And these are just generic infantrymen because he's actually painted them, so they've got names. I forget. Is it Hans?
Fritz. Fritz the sniper. Fritz the rifleman.
Fritz the rifleman is in the 7th Panzer. So we started thinking how, you know, Warden's got an early war Blitzkrieg army. I've got mid-war DAC. You've got late war Winter.
Yep.
So I think, how can we tie them together? So I did some researching in the books. So we decided we're going to run with the 7th Panzer in France,
mm-hmm.
which is the early war army. 7th Panzer is then transferred to Africa, which I think is the 21st Panzer Army,
mm-hmm.
which becomes a DAC, basically. Fritz has been upgraded from a rifleman to NCO. He's an NCO in the DAC. Then we jump to 21st Panzer in Battle of Bulge.
Yep.
Your ones, yep. And Fritz has been promoted to the captain of...
I thought he was a sniper.
Was he a sniper? I thought he was talking about being the commander of the 80... No. Yeah, Fritz becomes a sniper.
Yeah.
All the way through it, we've got the same... So the Thunder Themes also, we've got an 88 in each one of us.
Yes. So that...
With the same gun crew the entire war.
Yeah. They make it. The same gun. Yeah. They're dragging this 88 from 1940 all the way through to 44. Yeah.
And that's one of the themes of it, and I think... We asked Russell, because in order for to use my DAC, I needed a theatre list.
Yeah.
Because I used the twin LMG squads.
Mm-hmm.
I've completely forgotten what they're called.
Schützen
squads. Along with the sort of budget price Panzer III.
Yes.
So it says no theatre list, so you spoke to Mr. Wright.
I explained the theme.
Yes.
And that we're taking a bunch of German guys, kind of like Band of Brothers, but throughout the entire war and the different theatres they go to, focus around this 88mm flat gun, plus the hangers-on, and it is them throughout the entire war. And he thought, you know what, that's a great theme. There's theme points.
Yes, and I heard that.
So when you look at, we're not sure what the entirety of each list will consist of, but we know that there's going to be snipers when you can.
Yeah.
The Flak 88 is the crux. That's the heart of each list, regardless. Mate, we have to have the discussion, though. Do I have to take mine, because I'll be running the late war, do I have to take mine as a veteran 88? It must be a veteran by that point. It's got to be.
I know that might totally disbalance the list, though. How much is a veteran 88?
I don't know.
Be
a lot.
The laptop's on top of the book.
Yeah, don't do it. Like a regular Flak 88 with a spotter is 160.
In fact.
Don't do it.
No, because I just realised I've got this line behind me. I printed off some lists at work the other day. So yeah, we've actually got the mid-war list.
Okay.
Do you want to tell people what it is?
Well, it's not. Is it fixed in stone?
No, that's what we're thinking about. So second LT with a buddy.
Yeah.
Or Leutnant. Two 8-man Schützen squads with two light machine guns.
Yeah.
6-man Schützen squad with one light machine gun.
Okay.
Medium mortar. Anti-tank team.
Yeah. Is that rifle?
Anti-tank rifle team, sorry. An 88. Flak 88.
How much is it?
For a regular, it is 160 points.
That'll include the spotter, yeah? Must do.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think I can squeeze a spotter in.
Hmm.
Then we've got a Western Desert Fred Sheetson squad, motorcycles. So it is two motorbike and sidecars, one motorcycle,
yep.
One LMG amongst it. Panzer III G, mm-hmm. which is the medium AT gun, 8 plus armour. The SD PFZ 7 half track to pull the 88 because you can't use horses in the desert.
No.
Two trucks, a Cobra wagon.
Yeah.
And a heavy fueled car.
Yeah. So a lot of those elements will cross over into the late war.
Yes.
Mate, I reckon the 88 will have to be veteran in the late war.
You think so?
Got to be. By that point, they'll be using it like a sniper.
I mean, they're going to be pretty good at it, and you know, Fritz is there to instruct them.
You'd think 4 years in, firing the same 88mm gun, they'd be pretty accurate.
It would actually be quite amusing if they weren't.
No, it'd really be bad.
If they just hadn't got any better.
I'm sure I've got the decals on mine. I'm sure they've sank a ship.
Is there not one of the pictures of one of them on the internet where it's got a picture of a UFO?
Oh, yeah, that's real. That's not photoshopped at all.
It might not be. I'm just actually checking the price of this Veteran 88 because it's kind of good sounding.
I'm pretty much sold on it as an idea that just happened.
Where was
that? Just happened live on the Facebooks.
So, 88mm flak 36 dual purpose. So it's 126 inexperienced, 160 reg, or 192 vet.
Yeah, I'd do it.
It does make it 202 points, including your spotter.
Bargain.
Think so?
Yeah, got to be done. If we're sticking to theme...
Yeah, it's got to be done.
It has to be.
So does that mean Wards is an experienced one then?
I think that's up to Warden to argue that one.
Well, sorry, it's up to Ian Other to decide.
Yeah.
Because we don't know if it's Warden or Bono that's coming.
But I'll leave that. But that's our theme for three good men.
Fritz and the 88 crew.
Yeah. Doing it.
For the Dirty Dozen.
Yes.
But no, it's going to be really good fun.
Yep, hope because so.
Those guys were genuinely a great bunch of guys across from Poland.
Yes, Team Wales were exceptionally good fun.
I think between that, you know, meeting Russell and them was great. You got to see Ben Tindall-Tofer and them. The German team, those guys,
yep.
They're from across the Nationals.
Yeah. I have to say about the Germans, we played the Germans in the first round and we got a draw against them. Good gamers, but I was playing my German army and I was just talking through the list.
Yeah.
And I got this self-conscious moment when I'm saying words like Panzer, Nebelwerfer, and I realised, like, I'm talking to a German and I'm
using German words.
And I'm using German words. And I just thought, shut up, Al. He does not need this explained to him. He knows what a Nebelwerfer is.
It was quite funny, because I was having the same thing with talking with the refs, with the Polish refs. And I was trying to explain something that was happening, and I realised that, because my other half is Polish, I know, I can't speak Polish, but I know some Polish words. So I was like, oh, I know this word, that word. I can almost string a sentence together.
Almost. International relations.
We're not good at it.
No. But I think that's the name of the episode, isn't it?
Could be.
Because we need it.
International relations?
Yeah.
Maybe get some sort of music to go with that, some description.
Go with that.
But yeah.
But mate, I am...
You're on a end of a...
I'm on a clock. Because
the poo break here.
Yep. My son will be having a poo in the next half an hour. Oh, so
you're 3 minutes over your allotted time.
Very much so. So Hamish is pooing himself and needing his dad to change his nappy.
So on that momentous last comment, I think we'll leave it.
We'll pull the pin on episode 13 and we'll see you all in the future.
The preceding podcast is a property of Home Guard Radio. You can find us on Facebook by searching for Home Guard Radio, or you can join us on our blog at homeguardradio.com. Any comments, criticisms or reviews can be left there, or you can contact us on homeguardradio@gmail.com.